21CL Radio. Hey, happy Monday morning to you, and welcome to the Education Vanguard. I'm your host, Michael Bohl, and I'm thrilled to have you here. I'm also thrilled that you're helping support our mission, which is to recognize and share the knowledge of educational leaders out there. Today, I got Victor Boulanger. He's the Director of Learning Design at Kaohsiung American School in Taiwan. Victor, we are building a new school, and I want you to integrate good design with technology. Victor Boulanger, the Director of Learning Design at Kaohsiung American School in Taiwan, heard those words, or I don't know, something like that, from his school director upon arriving in Taiwan for his brand new job. Well, most people might turn and run. Victor charged directly into the project and created space and spaces where the power of technology meets the strengths of good design. As Victor points out during our conversation, he did not, of course, do it alone. With help from other leaders such as Sunil Talawar of the Chinese International School in Hong Kong and a bunch of other people within the Air Coast community, and, of course, technology leaders at his own school, a project was transformed into a finished project worthy of a visit the next time maybe you are in Taiwan. Enjoy the conversation. Victor Boulanger, thanks so much for joining me on the program today.
Thank you for having me, Michael.
All right, so I got your last name right. Is that correct?
You did. It's actually French for Baker.
All right, so Mr. Baker. Do your students call you Mr. Baker?
No, they don't. They for the longest time, I was called Mr. B, and now I've got some adventure students that actually tend to pronounce my last name correctly.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so we weren't going to talk so much about cakes and baking today. We're going to talk more about your role as the Director of Learning Design at Kaohsiung American School in Taiwan, where you built a new campus, and you had your role in a certain portion of that campus. Can you tell us a little bit about what you did?
Sure. So Kaohsiung American School is a K through 12 school well-established in southern Taiwan and serving the needs of the community there, and it's a school that's been steadily growing under the leadership of our current superintendent, Dr. Tom Farrell. Mm-hmm. And there was a big disconnect that was very apparent to most people that came to visit KS between the quality of the school, of the school and its community, and the facilities in which the school was. And so what Dr. Farrell decided to do was to basically build a state-of-the-art school. And that's what we have now. We opened the school after the spring break of 2015.
So when he, you know, had state-of-the-art school in mind, was it as awesome as he turned to you and said, "Hey, Victor, I want state-of-the-art, bring it to me"?
just as much. I came to KS in 2012, mm-hmm. 3 years ago, and at the time, a lot of the original planning for the new school was already well on its way. And as a matter of fact, when we started reviewing all the technology aspect of it, that was a few days after the groundbreaking ceremony. So it was quite late to the game when I realized that there were quite a few things that had to be adjusted to match our mm-hmm. vision for technology. So very quickly, I went to Tom and I said, I explained to him my concerns, and he was very, very supportive, and he let me basically go back to the drawing table and review all the technology to integrate it to its full extent.
So what does it look like? What if somebody was to go there, and what sort of things would you want them to see and be impressed by?
I think the first word that we hear a lot of people say when they even just enter the new campus is wow. It's truly an amazing design. I very much like design myself, and photography and video and architecture. It's a more recent passion of mine ever since we started having a lot of very long meetings with architects about how to deploy technology into a building. But it's a truly, truly amazing building. I think it's very clear that the key aspect of it is the amount of transparency there is throughout the entire building.
Oh, really?
Which, yeah, there's a lot of open windows. There's a lot of open spaces everywhere. And this is in contrast with the traditional architecture you'll find across Taiwan, because obviously it's a hot country, and so you try to keep your school cool.
So would you say it's more of a design space or more of a tech space now?
Definitely design space. I think what I've tried to do with the technology is to make sure to follow that criteria of transparency. So one thing you will not notice when you go inside the classroom is the amount of technology that we had to integrate inside the space, inside the room. You may notice the projector. Of course, it's a short throw projector just hanging above the whiteboard. You may, if you pay close attention, distinguish the wireless AP that's on the ceiling. But what you probably won't see is the rest of the infrastructure, which is fully integrated within the cabinets. And one thing that we're trying to keep is the absence of cabling everywhere, because I find it a little bit distressing when I step into a classroom and there's an amass, there's, you know, bunches of wires everywhere. It snakes back and forth, and it seems to tie up the place where the learning happens to a very specific area. This is something that I didn't want to see in our classrooms at KS.
So it seems like things changed a bit. So let's say you were doing this 10 years ago. Do you think you'd have the same mindset, or do you think, you know, of thinking and incorporating design, or would you just be more worried about getting all the stuff in there? Have things changed?
Things have changed a great deal. I think the focus on design is definitely more recent. And I think the understanding that the look and the function of a space need to play with perfect harmony is a very important concept. I mean, 10 years ago, I didn't do any project of that scale, but I was working in Chicago at the time. And the spaces that we were building where the technology was implemented were definitely a lot more, I guess you'd say, clunky. You know, like as much as you try to hide the cables, the desk was still made for the computer. And it was a much more teacher-centered classroom where the learning had to happen in only one direction, basically. Nowadays, there's so much more flexibility built into the spaces, and everybody can take charge of the presentation in the room, and I think that's really important.
So doing a project like this is a big deal. So there must have been highs and lows. I'd like, Victor, to talk to you a little bit about that. Maybe we could start with the best parts. What were some of the best parts now, looking back, being part of a process like this?
Well, if you allow me, I'll start with the first low I had. Because that in turn brought the biggest high for me. And the first flow is to realize when I really opened the drawings, I alluded to this a little bit early on, when I opened the drawings and I realized that I didn't have an office. There was no office for technology.
Whoops.
And that was a bit of a, you know, mishap. and beyond that, we did not have a server room.
Oh, uh-oh.
And exactly. All facilities were already very, very crammed, and all the technology that I was using, all the servers were in my office. And this created a very awkward space where we could not really host people very easily, and definitely a very noisy environment that wasn't conducive to conversations.
Sure.
So when I realized that was missing in the original plans, I must admit, I panicked a little bit. Because with the groundbreaking ceremony behind us, what it meant is that there was a major rehaul of the plans to be done. I wasn't sure that I was quite up to the task for that. Mm-hmm. And the big high that came after that is really to involve so many community members, so many different actors into the redesign of those plans, into the school that we have right now. And this started when Christina DeWitt from Jakarta International School welcomed me to the circle of IT directors in the region. And I'm sure a lot of your audience knows about her. She encouraged me to join the IRCOS Leadership Conference in 2013.
Okay.
And that's where I met many of my counterparts. And, you know, a big difference from 10 years ago is that I feel that now the community of IT directors is a lot more connected than it was at the time. 10 years ago, when I had problems, it was a lot harder for me to find solutions to those problems. Nowadays, I don't have to reinvent the wheel. I can actually go to the leading schools in the region and see what takes place there, how the learning takes place, what are some of the best key ideas, and bring those back to our community in Kaohsiung and pilot those ideas and see if it would work within within our parameters. And one of the key moments during that conference was when we sat at a table with Dave Newdall from the International School of Kuala Lumpur.
Okay.
Who had organized a job-alike session to do some troubleshooting, to do some problem solving just specifically for IT directors. And at that table, I had the good luck of having Justin Hardman from 21CL.
Okay.
And when I explained the scope of my problem, one of the first suggestions that they provided me with is, you need help. You need help. You need to pull members of your community to hear about some of their suggestions on how to integrate technology, but should also bring external help. And Justin agreed to come in with Sunil Talwar from Chinese International School.
Oh yeah, he's a great guy.
Exactly. And it was those two guys just looked at everything we had and everything we'd started, because at that point, I mean, the ball was rolling, and I'd already started making some changes to the drawings. But what they were able to give me is the eagle's eye point of view, basically, on our project, and bring me back to original mission, to the original scope of what we are trying to achieve, and keep me focused on that goal. And without the help of that community, without the help of all the other IT directors in the region, I don't think that would have happened. Thankfully, after all their suggestions were given to me, and I implemented quite a few in our final drawings, the key factor became the support that I received from Tom, from Dr. Farrell, our superintendent, and the principal, Don Rock, and then our teachers and our students, who saw all the benefits of fully integrating the technology inside every learning spaces throughout the school.
Now, I wanted to ask you, and maybe you already know, like, if you had to do it all over again, what would you do differently? And actually, it sounds like you had that opportunity in the beginning, right? Because you didn't have the server room, et cetera. And so suddenly you sort of had to do it all over again. But what would you do? Is there some advice you could give to somebody in addition to what you've told us now, if they had to do a similar project?
Sure, I think you can extract that from some of the comments that I've made, and I think the first most important piece to remember is, don't do that on your own. This is definitely not a single person project, not even a single department project. This is something that a lot of people need to bring their input in, because there's a sense of ownership as well on the solutions that we have. We have about 2 years ago, I brought a team of tech ambassadors together. Those are teachers that exhibit some of the most skills in respect to technology.
Okay.
And that's my pilot group. So every time that I had a suggestion and I said, okay, should we try, like 60-inch TVs in your room and see what happens when we connect that, I would bring that into the tech ambassadors classrooms, and they're the ones that give me their feedback on this. So involve the community as much as you can, because they're the ones that need to buy into every solution you bring. What we realized, for example, for those TVs is, for us, it actually didn't work in the classrooms, because a lot of the teachers still needed the flexibility of drawing over the actual projected image, something that the TV didn't afford. But they are really fantastic when you put them in conference spaces, in meeting areas. And so we still use a lot of that. So that's the first key aspect of it. And then for the second one, in terms of how to tackle a project of this size, is don't be afraid to fail and test drive different elements, like, you know, split that project into a few different pieces and pilot those before you really release them fully into the final project.
I like hearing about that because I think sort of the older tech director belief was you kind of did it all on your own. Maybe they just weren't those types of personalities that would reach out and have somebody test drive things to see if it really worked or not.
Maybe. I have a pretty balanced experience in terms of within and outside of the classroom. I started as an IT director, mm-hmm. but I had, you know, at the time, I needed to teach a few classes as well, this, you know, typical in smaller schools.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt that, you know, I was doing more and more in terms of directing technology for the school, but less in the classroom. So I took a little break of 4 years where I went and dedicated myself only to teaching. And that really allowed me to test drive a lot of the solutions that I, you know, I was pushing by myself before. And now I realize that it's, as you said, it's not something that one person can just determine and dictate. I mean, you need to have a vision. You need to definitely have a scope. But within this, I think with good leadership, you need to leave a lot of flexibility to the teachers to determine what works and what doesn't work for them.
All right, so we talked about this earlier before the show. I want to ask you, would you do this all over again, let's say a year or two from now or something, there was an opportunity came up? Not that you'd have to leave your school or whatever, but would you want to go through this process again?
Yes, I definitely would. I mean, there's something, there's so much enthusiasm in a project like this. I mentioned the disconnect between the face of our school before and the community itself. Mm-hmm. Today, I think when you come in to KS, when you cross the door of our school, you really see a campus that matches the quality of the people inside of it, and the excitement, the palpable enthusiasm of people as we were nearing the opening of the school was something that I could live over and over again. You know, that was really a great experience. Within days of moving in that school, our behavior transformed. I mean,
really?
we were all of a sudden, we were crammed into our previous school. We were lacking space. We were trying to make do. This is how the servers ended up in my room, for example. And with the new school, we have a lot more space. And one of the first things that happened, for example, in our new gorgeous auditorium is a play from the drama club was put together. And, you know, one of the things that I'll never forget is when all of a sudden 400 of our community members were mm-hmm. seated in the same space, which hadn't happened, indoors for as long as I'd been at KS.
Right.
And they laughed out loud together.
That sense of community they can now have.
Absolutely, it's nothing that technology could have enabled, you know. But with the special effects, with the light, and the fact that we were in one room together, that sense of community came to life, and that's wonderful. Yes, I would definitely do that again.
I've got my final question now. So it's done. What are you hoping to do with it, looking forward to doing with it for the next 1, 2, 5 years or so?
You know, I cannot tell you in detail what that will look like. And that's a great thing in my opinion, because mm-hmm. the flexible spaces that have been built in the school allow for a tremendous amount of creativity. And for me to determine what that creativity will look like on a day-to-day basis is impossible. But what I know is that now that we've got a really state-of-the-art infrastructure in many aspects beyond technology, a lot of my efforts will now focus on training the teachers. And you've hosted a lot of people, and, mm-hmm. and I know this is an element that you're involved in as well in your school. And that's what I feel is the most important. I think my experience as an IT director and as a teacher have shown me that the technology and people need to work together frictionless, and it's a lot harder to make happen than it seems. We're bringing a technology coach next year. We have a lot of initiatives that are taking place with our tech ambassadors and with our tech crew. That's our student-led ambassador program. It's a very cool initiative. Yeah. I love that. And what I'm also trying to do is deliver with our newsletter. We have a little newsletter that I've started up this year called Tech Yoda, which is basically just little technology bits, like, you know, happening in small increment, so that as not to overload the faculty that reads it. And all these initiatives are geared towards making sure that technology integration in the infrastructure is reflected within our community, within the people, within the teachers, within the students, and the parents, of course.
I've been speaking with Victor Boulanger, the Director of Learning Design at Kaohsiung American School in Taiwan. Victor, thanks so much for your time and for sharing all that information with us.
Thank you so much, Michael. It was a pleasure.
This interview was brought to you by 21st Century Learning International. Find us on the web at 21clradio.com.